Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders, where we learn about the bold path of building digital products that sell themselves. Let's listen to product leaders who can give us a glimpse into the innovative thinking process. Showcasing and celebrating these awesome folks, I'm your host, UX and product design veteran, Thomas Watkins. Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders. We've got a great guest for the show today, Russ Hawkins. He is president and CEO of Agilence, which is a leading provider of data analytics software for multi-location retail restaurant operators. Russ, thanks for being here.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to the conversation.
Yes, absolutely. So let's start off by taking a step back and understanding and appreciating the problem that we're going to be solving.
The problem is that we've got too much data and we don't know what to do with it in a nutshell, right? Everyone today is awash in data, and it's hard to not only find the needles in the haystack, but it's sometimes problematic to even find the haystacks. And so what we're all about is wrangling that data, making it manageable so that people can use their innate expertise, what they already know. They know their business, they know what they want to do. And we want to give them a way of speaking in normal questions and normal thinking processes and getting the most out of the data that they've already got. So there's this huge amount of data that's being generated every day by these businesses. And the idea is to make it accessible to the average person.
So with what you offer, we'll gradually get into what you guys are doing at Agilence. But Is it software, services, somewhere in between that you offer?
It's primarily software. We do provide some consulting services to help people get the maximum benefit out of it. We actually encourage our customers to share and help themselves and help others that are in their same kind of ecosystem. So a big part of our business is enabling the community, I guess is what I would describe it. But fundamentally, we're selling access to our software. People rent access to our software. They load in their data. We help them manipulate it and put it away in an orderly fashion. And then we give them a tool that lets them ask questions of the resulting database.
Now, in the description of Agilence, it talks about multi-location retail and restaurants. Is there any particular reason why you've narrowed it to that scope?
We started out, so this is a company that actually started as doing something completely different. And I wasn't the original founder, although I feel like I am the founder of the current iteration of the business. The venture capitalist that originally funded the company had the company focusing on resolving problems using video. It was primarily a video-based company. And so about 10 years ago, I completely changed the focus of the company to be a data-centric company. And video is just one other data source. And so we built it. We started in the grocery business, the supermarket business, as I now call it. We bought a company in the UK last year, and they've explained to me that grocery and supermarket mean different things in the UK. So I use supermarket now all the time. And so from that base in supermarkets, when we made this transition to being a data-centric company, we wanted to appeal to the largest number of retailers as we could. And so we focused on specialty retail and basically everybody that's in a mall, all the stores that are down the hallways of the mall, even the companies at the ends of the aisles. And then from there, we've successively moved to pharmacies and then to hotels and then on into wholesale distribution. So I have an objective of conquering the world, but I'm just taking it one bite at a time.
Yeah, so give us an idea of what that shift looked like. So 10 years ago, video-centric, what did that mean? And then what did it mean to you when you occurred, we need to be focusing on data instead?
The first iteration of the company was founded as a kind of a problem resolution company. It was primarily focused on loss prevention and trying to identify what was happening at the point of sale. And typically, these were larger companies. I have 190 customers, and on average, they have about 600 locations today. But in the earlier days, they had probably on average 100 or 150 or something like that. And so the idea was originally was to basically take the video that was already in the business, already pointing at it, and instead of having somebody sit and watch video to try to figure out what was happening, we hooked the video to the POS system, and then we were able to use specific events in the POS flow to identify transactions that the company wanted to review. So it was all about resolving suspect transactions. And as we moved through that, we did reasonably well with that business. But ultimately, what I realized is that data can be used to solve lots of things, not just identifying suspect transactions. And we intentionally morphed into more of a operational effectiveness kind of set of use cases. So the idea is to help them manage cost and expenses, which is that loss prevention area. But we also found that we could provide value around sales enrichment and effectiveness of promotions and effectiveness of loyalty programs and those kinds of things. And then finally, the third area is a helping alignment. I like to say getting the boardroom aligned with the stock room, so to speak. And so what we found was that there was a lot more that you could do with the data than we were doing. And that video was not didn't need to be central, that it was in fact just another set of data that you could bring into the mix. And so we pulled all this data in, we put it away in a database in a very kind of enriched way, in a comparable way. And then we provide a tool that lets people ask questions, and they can do it today with AI that's coming along. We're very close at this point to being able to let them just ask the question verbally. Today, we do written natural language querying, and that's been a big evolution as well. Originally, we had to be very strictly conforming to a certain structure of the queries, and now it's becoming more and more of a natural language kind of thing, and very soon will be audio driven. So the transition has continued. We're never going to get to the other end of it, right? The transition goes on and on, and as technology evolves, bandwidth evolves, the amount of data evolves, we're finding more and more ways of using the product. Or I should say, our customers are finding more ways of using the product. And that's what's great for us, is that in terms of the product develops itself, because customers share with us the problems that they're trying to solve. And in some ways, they're already solving them using our product. And we just teach other people to use the product the way that they're using it. So it's a constant evolution that we're dealing with here.
I love that story. I think that's awesome. And I understand now. So in the beginning, it's kind of focusing on loss prevention, and there's video feeds. So you see the person in the back slipping something into their jacket, and people are able to monitor and see all these things. But then it's providing rich data because it's trying to solve that problem really well in a certain way. But then you saw an opportunity and said, wait a minute. There's a ton of data here, and there's lots of other questions that you can answer other than is the bad guy stealing, tucking the stuff away in his
Exactly.
jacket?
Exactly right. That's exactly the evolution of the company, and we continue to evolve every day.
Now, you say that customers lead the way now, where it's not just you guys sitting in a boardroom thinking, okay, what should we do? We want the product to be there. Doing some leading and figuring out, hey, I want to use data to answer these kinds of questions. What kinds of feedback loops or structure have you guys set up that works for you in terms of understanding what the customers want?
Well, what we've realized is that it is a symbiotic relationship. I don't want to make it sound like they're dictating everything that we do. We have very creative product managers and very creative people that have operated. They have lots of domain experience, have operated in the industry. We try very hard to hire people that have that kind of domain experience. As we move into new areas, new types of companies, we typically will hire some expertise in that area to help our product managers understand what the use cases are and what the value proposition are. But we do encourage it. We think of our customers more as a community than as customers. Matter of fact, we talk about them as members of the community. And we've set up a number of mechanisms to do this. One of the most favorite ones that I have is the water cooler. We have a water cooler. So this is, we're all virtual, but it's a virtual water cooler, which gives people the ability to just go in and ask questions of the peer group. And so it's amazing what happens in that environment. Somebody in a supermarket business will have a question about a particular problem that they might have, and they'll get other people in other supermarket chains to opine and to provide answers and to suggest other things about what they do. We look at it very closely and we look at it very carefully, and we're able to take some of that information and evolve the product, drive the product in certain directions to help doing that. It's created opportunities for us. We've created several new products, completely new products. Beyond our data analytics, we now have a case management product and we have an audit product. And it's all because of the feedback that we've gotten from things like the water cooler. We have annual meetings where customers do all the presentations. We don't do any of them. We do one. We do a product presentation about where we're going with the product. But we encourage our customers to come up and talk in front of several hundred people and talk about the opportunities that they're now able to exploit and the problems that they're now able to solve, and to share that with everybody. And we stay there and take a lot of notes and figure out what to do. But it's part of our culture is to encourage this kind of sharing. And it's something that I do as a leader, is I'm constantly beating the drum of listening. Listen to the customers, listen to what they have to say. Try to glean information out of every experience that we have every day. And it becomes a virtuous cycle, a virtual feedback group. We take care of the customers take care of us, and we take care of the people. And it's the way that the management takes care of the people.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm a big fan of product thinking and design thinking and having those sort of company cultures that are just a fertile ground for ideas, for self-organized problem solving. And you talked about some of the things that you do to encourage that listening. What are some of the other things that you do to deliberately create an environment of winners?
One of our core values is innovation. And so we're always encouraging our developers to innovate. And we have hackathons. A couple of times a year, we'll stop our normal sprint cycle. We use a sprint methodology, and we will dedicate a couple of sprints a couple of times a year. And we will encourage our engineers to work on anything that they want to work on. And our product managers are allowed to do that as well. Lately, with the evolution of the large language models and the other innovations that are happening in AI has been around for a long time. Looking at it today, you would think it's only been around for a year or two or three or four, but it's really been decades that AI concepts have been around. But now we have specifically encouraged people to talk about how they want to use AI, and it covers the whole business, not just the engineers. We use it in so many different areas now just to operate our own business, and then we try to apply those things. So we have this culture of empowerment and enablement, and then the most important thing about that is to use the stuff that people come up with. When they come up with an idea, implement it, and then show them that there's a positive feedback loop and that they're making a great impact on the business, and that they can have a leader, they can have an individual leadership role, or I like to call it entrepreneurial role. Be an entrepreneur within the organization. Innovate and find things that you can do to make the processes better, to help grow our revenues and help our customers grow their revenues and run more effective operations.
You mentioned that AI is being incorporated into what you do on your team, and there's a spectrum out there of the discussion of the role of AI in the workplace, right? So it's ranging from AI replacing jobs, replacing a lot of things that people used to do. Some folks say, no, it just empowers you. Somewhere there might be in the middle of it replace some people, the teams stay together. What do you think is the sweet spot as you could see it today in 2025, where folks should be trying to go in leadership in AI and companies, and where do you see it going?
First of all, just on your comment about creating jobs or losing jobs, I think that is both of those things are going to happen, right? Whenever you have a technological advance, there are skills that become absorbed by the new technology. I think of the weaving industry back in the 1800s, right? If you look at Andrew Carnegie, who became one of the biggest entrepreneurs in the United States, his family were weavers, hand weavers, and they were displaced by these machines. And yes, people who were weavers lost their jobs. However, there were all kinds of other jobs came up, and a lot of other things happened. So my belief is that yes, it will rearrange the kinds of jobs that are available out there. But I think it also creates opportunities. So I think both of those things happen. As far as how we encourage people or what we believe about AI is that the most effective thing to be, and I tell my kids this, become a prompter. Learn how to prompt effectively, right? There's a thing called vibe computing today, which you may or may not have heard about, which, it's going to be less about knowing how to program in C sharp or something like that, and more about how to guide the delivery of the software, how to guide the ultimate value that the software is trying to create. And you can do that. That's what humans are going to be doing. That's what we always do. And the at least in the development area, from my perspective, AI is an assistant. It's going to help you become more effective and more efficient. And for people that embrace those kinds of things, embrace vibe computing, embrace prompting as a skill, I think they're going to do very well in this environment. And I think I'm in a small company I've been in three small companies, and then I was in a very large company before that. So there may be some displacement. The larger the company, the more likely there's some displacement from my perspective. But smaller companies, you get what you really need, which is the ability to leverage the brain power that you have by having this really cool tool to use and make your developers even more effective. So from a small company perspective, I think it's nothing but upside.
Your company deals a lot with analytics and taking data sense making. And there's been all kinds of software that have done things in and around that for a long time. And there's a tendency for folks to think that's already been solved. There's really no opportunities there. But you guys have clearly found a good opportunity in the world of data sense making, data exploration. How were you able to confidently go into that and to find that you're able to succeed there?
I think historically you had to have very specific skills in terms of coding and in terms of making effective software. And much of the users of that software had to have special training and special understanding of how the software works, how coding actually works. And so what we've found is that much of the analytic business historically has had one big fault, and that is that there's a significant learning curve to get value out of it. And as a result, you end up with silos of capability inside companies, and the benefits of the software aren't necessarily available to everybody. One of the things that we have focused on is usability and democratizing access to the products, access to the software, and that is making it easy to use. Now, everybody talks about ease of use, but the bottom line is that I want it to be natural. I wanted it to be, I want you, you're, if you're a marketer or a merchandiser or a loss prevention professional or a finance executive, you're trained to understand what information you need and you know how to ask the question. And if I was talking to you or they were talking to me, they'd be able to ask the question without any problem. But to ask a database, typically it's required very specialized skills. And so the barrier to entry, if you will, has been quite high. We have focused with dogged pursuit on making that user interface as natural as possible. And we're seeing today major leaps forward with the use of some of the AI tools that are out there today. And so now I can just ask my question the way I would ask a human. And that is what has made a huge difference for us in our business. And we've driven down the ability to use the software down to the lowest levels in these organizations. The entry-level people can come in and get utility out of the software right off the bat without any significant training. And that's been key for us.
I'm always telling entrepreneurs about the importance of having usability and leading with that, because that's going to be one of your major differentiators. Features are not going to get you there by themselves. It has to be something that really resonates with the customers and the users. And so how does that come together for you guys? Do you have a core product team, and is design its own vertical? How does that come together for you guys organizationally?
That is right. We have our own dedicated and growing product team. I've been making more and more investments in this area, especially as now we've had this longstanding analytics product that is the core of our business and our major revenue drivers. But in the last 3 years, as I mentioned earlier, we've come up with two new products. And so we've created new teams on those in those areas. And then we have cross-functional design and development activities and processes that we use. So it's not easy, to be honest. You really need to invest energy in in getting that collaboration going. The developers are heavy into it. Our customer success people are heavy into it, and everybody is focused on a common goal, which is one of my jobs is to set the challenges, set the goals, and point the company in the right direction, make sure everybody understands what the plan is and what we're trying to achieve, and then let them loose and let them do what they do.
Yeah, I love it. And so what's your roadmap look like for folks who are already customers, existing customers, and folks who are looking to sign up with you guys? What kinds of future developments can they look forward to?
So when in the early days, and when we first made the pivot from that kind of loss prevention focused business to the data-driven data analytics side of business, we had an all-you-can-eat strategy, which was we just kept building the product and building the product. And frankly, it enabled people to find ways to use the product that we hadn't thought of. But what we found was that a couple of things. Number one, it was hard to organize our own brains around a single monolithic product. And secondly, we were leaving money on the table, quite frankly. We were in a situation where we kept adding more and more functionality to the product, and people would use it, and they would solve bigger problems, and they would be more effective. They would grow their revenues, they would reduce their losses, but we weren't really participating in it in the way that we wanted to. So we adopted in the last 3 years a strategy of modularizing the product. And so we have a set of core capabilities that are available to everybody, and then we've aggregated. If we have new data sources that have value to the customer, we've aggregated those new data sources into a set of new use cases, and then we've bundled that together into a module. So the most recent one that we just brought out recently was an RFID module. Now, RFID has been around for a long time too, but that's moving at a breakneck speed. I don't know how familiar you are with the RFID business, but now the electronic coding can be put into the label in a garment. And so not only can you keep track of the garment going in and out of the door, you really can track it from the factory, excuse me, all the way through the landfill, basically, from the factory to the landfill. And you can encode a lot more information on that label than you ever have been able to do it before. So this creates a whole new set of opportunities for companies. And we created a module specifically in partnership with some of the major RFID companies to try to solve a specific problem. It was for one of our garment customers. And that pattern is the pattern that keeps happening now, is that somebody will come in and ask a blue sky question about, we're thinking about one of the ones we do now, we're working on right now, is a thing called cash overshort. This is just about managing cash in the business. So the cash comes in, it goes in the drawer, it goes into a safe, and then eventually gets deposited. You can now track all that stuff, and you can gauge where it's at and what's happening. And getting a cash module is one of the next ones that we're going to do. And so generally speaking, these are things that come from our customers, and it's usually just an idea. And then we take that idea and we package it into a module. In some cases, it's driven us to build whole new products to solve a specific set of problems in another area. And so we just keep trying to encourage that, and we keep trying to build on it. And now the product has about, we have about 15 modules now on top of the core, and we expect to deliver two or three of those every year, and maybe another new product or two. I'm
Nice.
really interested in task management right now. I'm really interested in frontline management for customers. We do some things today around monitoring. We can set up data monitors where if a combination of data events happen, then an alert can be sent to the responsible person, and it can have an action plan of what you want to do. I think there's a lot more meat on that bone, and I'm very interested in that. And I'm very interested in going upstream back to the manufacturing and the creation side of this thing. We have no shortage of ideas. We're really only limited by the amount of development and brain power that we have in the company. And we're a self-sustaining company. We went through the venture capital phase and into a private equity-owned phase, which is where we're at now. So we're on our own devices, and we're trying to figure out what we want to do and live within our means and be responsible for our own future.
Oh, I love that stuff. It's just so exciting being Internet of Things and all of that stuff. Being out here in Texas, a lot of the jobs out here are very industry kind of jobs and warehouses and work facilities. And this physicality of computing is a real and very interesting part of things. So we'll have to wrap up there. So everyone, love all the listeners to go and check out Agilence. Where can they find you and also get started with Agilence?
So it's agilenceinc.com, agilenceinc.com. That's where they can find the company. And I am R. Hawkins at agilenceinc.com. And I'd love to hear from some of your listeners. That'd be great.
Russ, it's been so good talking to you. Been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for joining us
Well,
today.
thanks, Thomas. Thanks for having me on. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on Product-Led Growth Leaders. Take care.